Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, April 8th. And today we have Matt Valentine of Season 2 of Face Off. But before we speak with Matt, my sister Denise has some beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. I have your beauty news for this evening, Sunday, April 8th. This is just a quick reminder for those of you who will be attending IMATS New York City April 14th and 15th. They have added a new keynote speaker, celebrity artist and film veteran Bernadette Mazur. She's worked on films such as American Gangster, There's Something About Mary, and Sleepy Hollow. You can join Bernadette and the IMATS crew at Pier 94 for the show. And they'll also be having a pre-show for pro-only attendees. And it's going to be Friday, April 13th, from 2 to 6 p.m. It's their pro-only hours, and they're going to have a pre-show where they're going to have hors d'oeuvres and, you know, alcoholic beverages, I'm assuming, like last year. So if you're interested in attending the pro-only hours, that will be Friday, April 13th, again, from 2 to 6 p.m. And the first 150 attendees will receive a free gift from the vendors, and you can get your tickets from imats.net. And coming next Sunday, we'll have more information on the makeup show in New York City, which is going to be Mother's Day weekend, I believe.
All right. Thank you very much for that bit of information. Please, everyone, welcome to the show, Matt Valentine. Thank you, Matt, for joining us.
Hi. Thanks, Janice. Great to be here.
We're so glad to have you. I'm so excited because from the very beginning, you know, when I watch these shows, from the very beginning, I pick one person, you know, like right after the very first competition, I say, okay, who am I going to follow? Who am I going to watch? And I was like, okay, Matt. So Matt. I've been watching you and following you from the very, very first show and pulling for you all the way. I just want to remind our listeners that if you wanted to speak with Matt, ask him a question, or if you have a comment about anything that he's speaking of or about the show, you can call in at 914-803-4399. Again, the call-in number is 914-803-4399. And as always, you can join us in the chat room where my sister Denise will be moderating that. And if you have questions there, she'll get those questions out to Matt as well. Matt, can you just start off by introducing our listening audience to telling us who you are and how you got started with special effects makeup?
I consider myself an artist over a special effects artist.
Okay.
I've been drawing and painting for years, and so I kind of got into the industry. I mean, it's a long story. I'll try to condense it as much as possible, but I was raised very religiously in a strict Pentecostal home, and but before that, I was exposed to a lot of horror films from my brothers, and they would play Freddy and Jason and, you know, Chainsaw. And that really traumatized my young mind. And shortly after that, we started going to church and exposed to, you know, Revelations and Tribulation and a lot of that spiritual warfare. And that really stood out to me And it frightened me, but also inspired me. And it wasn't until I actually was in a play for a church. It was like a Hellfire Brimstone play, and I was chosen to be a demon, and they face-painted me, put a cape on me, and threw me out on stage, and I would actually have to drag people off from the throne room of God, and while smoke machines were going and strobe lights, and I would pull them screaming and yelling, and I was like 14 or 15, and the theatrics and the lighting and the makeup and the smells, all that stood out to me and really, really, you know, set me forward on a path that I kind of eventually would lead to. And I've always kind of been keen to the paranormal and spiritual presence. And one day in church, pastors were having us pray and ask God for direction. Where do you want to go in your life? And I heard this frightening but calming voice. It kind of sounds weird, you know, but you have to be there to experience it. And I heard it call my name. And it was like I'll get a little creepy, but it's kind of like, and it was like twice. It called me twice, and I jumped up. And at that moment, I felt compelled. Something was drawing me and forcing me in this direction to fulfill an agenda or a mission. And so from then on, I knew what I wanted to do, and I just went delved into art, drawing, and painting, and I became a musician, and I sing. Have a band, and it's just art in general. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago I realized I could sculpt and really create living, moving, breathing pieces of art in three dimensions that doesn't have to hang in a museum. It can actually interact with people and be on film and exist in our world three-dimensionally. And so that's really where I got my start. And so I'm kind of just playing it by ear right now. I'm kind of exposed to this new world and of makeup, and it's just one outlet. So I don't like to limit myself just as makeup, but it is one of my strong points.
Right. Gotcha. Let me just read to everyone what you posted to your Facebook page about tonight's show. And I read this, I was like, okay, we're in for an interesting story tonight. Matt says on his Facebook page, tune into Beauty Talk tonight as the pimp of darkness rises from the grave to spit makeup game and discuss sci-fi's face off. Love it. talk a little bit because I'm, you know, just following you on Facebook, I see that you own Global Fear Enterprises. Tell us a little bit about Global Fear and what goes on there.
Global Fear Enterprises, I created it actually just went public as an actual business 2012. And what was weird is I created the company 3 years ago, and the title was established 2012. It had an apocalyptic theme to it. So it was a company that I created 3 years ago, but it officially became existing in 2012, just this past January, and we're a multimedia special effects company. We deal in costumes, fabrication, makeup, set design, video production, graphic design, just media all over, and anything. We're not limited to horror, but that's our forte. So we basically any film or TV, any work, costuming, haunted houses, we got it covered.
Oh, wow. And are you just pretty much, this is a company that's servicing clients all over the country, all over the world, or just in Texas?
Yeah, it's nationally. We have a lot of work here in Texas, but we're also reaching out and all over L.A., New York, Atlanta, and a lot of, I mean, we've got a lot of gigs, especially coming off the show from that exposure that, I mean, I can't really go in depth, but there are some film,
right,
TV work, and then there's some notable rock stars that is really awesome that we're dealing with. So it's all this is coming to fruition, and it's amazing time to, you know, to be in this industry, especially with Face Off pushing that brand, giving a voice to the makeup artists who are usually shrouded in mystery and the craft was hidden almost like an illusionist. But now it's becoming dominant, and it's an amazing time.
Right. You know, and it's funny because watching you on Face Off, I don't think I would have gotten any of that from you. You know what I mean? Like all this Torah and all this stuff that you're talking, like how you even came to, you know, begin a career in this area, I would have never thought.
It's all the magic of editing, all the editors you can.
Yeah, that's true too, because I'm sure probably if the show was unedited, we may have seen a little bit more about everybody.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Well, what inspired you to audition for season 2 of Face Off?
It was really an agenda. Like, I had a mission going in. I didn't hear about the show until this past summer. I had a friend say, hey, you should try out for it. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And I checked it out, and I saw last season, and I was like, oh, wow, it looks like I have a pretty good chance at competing, especially with my conceptual designs. I think they're very strong. I'm not the best makeup artist, but I know my designs are pretty striking and visceral. So I was like, I'm going to go for it. And I felt if I'm going to do this, there's got to be a reason to, and I want to shake up the industry and cause something controversial.
Right.
I'm a big fan of like history. I'm a big history buff and social engineering and neurolinguistics, hiding secret symbolism in all your work and pushing, you know, your subconsciously your agenda or what you want to tell or expose to people and speaking to them on a subconscious level. So I wanted to create work that's very, very violent and disturbing and that has a voice. I've always thought if you don't have anything to say in your art, because that's where your power lies, is in your art. It's you know, just like any other artist or musician or politician, your power is within your art. And I thought, if you don't have anything to say, why even put clay to the armature? Don't even start if you don't even have anything to say or nothing that's going to revolutionize or shake the industry. And so that was my mindset going in. If I'm going to go in here, I want to save the horror industry and create something new, never before seen, and that's not your predisposed fear of like Freddy or Jason and, you know, all that stuff that's been done to death.
Wow. What was one of the hardest things about being on a competition show such as Face Off?
It's a giant social experiment, and it's a big mind game. So it's all it's tiresome and wearing on your body. It is through your art and then mentally having to create these ideas on the go, and constantly coming up with new ideas, and that is draining mentally, physically, and spiritually, and it's a constant battle. And being in there, that those time limits and dealing with all these egos that are battling with you, you are compartmentalizing this bubble, and all you know, you live and breathe makeup for 2 months, and that is it. You don't know what's going on outside. You know, Steve Jobs died. You don't know what happened, and all these things are going on. You have no radio, no music, no TV. You are cut off from the outside world, so you are with 13 other people living and breathing makeup to where you evolve and just become the game. You become part of, you're an extension of your paintbrush or your sculpting tool, and to where you are your art. And it's so weird to say, but we all dealt with it in different ways. And I felt that my real life was a dream. Like, did that really exist? Is my family still there? is Face Off it? And it was so weird. It just became like almost like a mind washing, and to where I was just competing. And so the time limits and the social experiment of the whole deal was really probably the hardest part, because there's no way you can really, a real makeup artist on set with these time constraints, it's impossible to create some of your best work. I mean, that's some of my okay work on the show, because you've got 13 hours from concept to application to display this, and it's uncalled. There's no way you can do it, but
you're telling us that the work that you did on the show is your okay work.
Yeah, and I think that goes for every other artist as well that was on it, because you've got 13, you know what I mean? Like, it's a time, it's like saying, you know, some of the top basketball players or sports players, okay, give me your A game within this short amount of time, you know, and there's all these other people who are just as good as you are, and let's see your A game, and it's just the constraints.
Wow. I mean, if the show showed us you all's okay work, I think I'm almost afraid to see what your best work looks like, because I thought your okay work was fabulous. I mean, some of the stuff that you guys were doing, I don't understand how you did what you did in 13 hours because, you know, I think I look at effects artists on film, you know, you know when the movie's going to start, you get a script, you read the script, you have meetings with the director, you know, you meet with your makeup team, you know, your creative team, and you know exactly what's expected of you. If you have to do some things like some sculpting and what have you, long before the actual, you know, day of the look or whatever, you have time to prepare and time to do these things. So, you know, you have the time. Now, if you, the day of or the day before and something changes, then you may, you know, then that's where your time constraints may come in, but you have time to really, like, create these great, fabulous looks. You guys, in 13 hours, did what you did, and I must say, I just think it's fabulous. And I hate it when effects artists that are not on the show talk bad or against the show and say, you know, to say different things almost as if, well, you know, I could have done this or they had plenty of time to do what they did or whatever they come up with. I just can't see how people could even talk against it when you just explain to us the things that are going on mentally and physically with you all on this show, as well as having to create all of these different looks, very limited time. It's just amazing. That show has really inspired me in so many ways, and it's inspired me to want to do more in that area. But it really inspired me to even do better where my focus lies now with makeup. So, I mean, I just think it's like one of the greatest. I don't know if you've ever seen, what was it, Blush, another makeup reality show. But that probably wouldn't have interested you either. I'm not sure. But it only had one season. But I really loved that show. But something about Face Off is so special to me. And I'm like I'm addicted.
Yeah.
I'm addicted. And I just think that each season it gets better and better.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the contestants, you know, they're always, they're it's like more contestants. The challenges are more elaborate and bigger, and it's just an amazing show, an opportunity for makeup artists rising up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to touch upon that. I actually wanted to take this time to call out some of the makeup artists out there, the older veterans. There's a lot of them that are bitter or jaded in the industry, and I'm saying that this is sci-fi, this is Face Off taking their opportunity to push their craft to the forefront. For them to bash it is ridiculous. I mean, they're giving acknowledgement. They're putting your craft out there on national TV saying, this is what you do. They're pulling the curtain away and saying, exposing the tricks and the trades, and they should be honored for that. And for them to say,
exactly,
this is crap or bashing the artist, try walking, you know, in our shoes. I'd say, get out there and apply for next season, and let's see, let's put the money where the mouth is, and let's see some great artists go against some young, talented artists. I mean, they always mix up the crew, you know,
yeah,
like
they
Jerry.
Mix it up.
And I want to see that. I want to see these guys who have, you know, have the big mouths who are bashing the show and the artists to get out there and put the money where the mouth is, and let's see your talents and within that time frame, because you are conceptualizing for 30 minutes. And and whatever you draw, create, that's it. Then you've got whatever you drew. Once it gets to that point, you go to sculpting. And once you go to sculpting, you can't turn back. There's no time to turn back. So if your design was weak, your whole makeup's going to be weak, and there's you can't mess up. You can't afford to make one mistake.
Right.
Wow.
And for those people who may be, you know, new to this arena, you know, they don't realize that special effects was not, you know, an art form that was, like, celebrated by the masses. You know, it's like now, I think since the show, you see a lot of people take the time to, you know, watch the show and appreciate the craft. Whereas before, if you did special effects, then of course you appreciated it and you loved it. But if you didn't do a special effects, you really didn't care about it. You know, you really didn't look at it. But now people are really appreciating it. So to bash it, again, is just ridiculous, I think.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of dinosaurs who don't want to evolve. But
there are a lot of people out there who are cowards. You know, they sit and they talk about, oh, these aren't actually great artists, you know, we're the better artists, but yet they're not putting themselves out there on the show when approached. You know, some of them have claimed that they've been approached by the show, but they don't want, you know, to do it. And I think when Sue was on the show, I talked about an artist that I spoke to here in Atlanta, and he said that, you know, they approached him about being on the show, but he didn't want to be on the show because he didn't want people to see his weaknesses. And I think that's the real truth as to why, you know, most of them do bash it, because they know they're not perfect either. No one's perfect. So, you know, although your work is great and you're working on film and TV stuff, and you know, but you're not perfect. You know, everybody can have a bad day at something. So I just think, you know, they're cowards for not even trying.
Yeah, we're all fallible. I mean, we're all human beings, and it's any given day on that set where you can have the strongest makeup in your mind, but you're the worst. You're on the bottom, and Glenn calls your name out on the bottom. It's all perception and how they judge you, and I think that is true. A lot of them are fearing that maybe they're going to get, you know, they're going to get showed up by a young whippersnapper coming in there right out of school, but you don't know until you try, you know, and get out there. And a lot of them, I think, are bashing the fame as well. There's a lot of exposure that comes from it, and maybe they just don't know how to handle that or don't want to be in the limelight, which I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Glenn, one question, I think it's kind of obvious what most people would say to this question, but, you know, which judge did you find the most critical and the hardest to please?
It would be too easy to say Glenn, because I know a lot of people would say that. I would say Vivica Fox. You've got Jerry, which is an amazing, phenomenal artist. He is a veteran. He's a technical assassin. His work is phenomenal. He has his own business with his pop culture toy company. He's been in the industry for years, and we're partnered. We partner up with... I could have had a better partner. I mean, he's an amazing guy working together. And we've got this great concept, this like a apocalyptic a Mayan leopard, yellowtail leopard that we did. And she looks, she embraces the perfect balance of deadly and beauty. And she just bashes it. She's like, I don't get, it's like, I think the coloring she said was off, or she doesn't get that ferociousness of it. And that was, I think, the strongest makeup in that challenge. I mean, I'm going to be biased because it was my work. But I feel it did capture the most deadly and beauty. The rest were a lot of lizard, reptile, like very scary-looking creatures, intimidating. And ours was a balance of both. And that really shocked me because I really thought we had that one. But, yeah, to say Glenn would be really, really obvious. But I would have to say Vivica Fox.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's funny because, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe she had just worked on a film with B, I believe it was.
I think they did Batman and Robin together.
Okay. You know, because it seemed like of all the guest judges that they had, I thought maybe she was the one that probably was the least connected to anything that you guys were doing. You know what I mean? Like, I think you had LeVar Burton on one time, and I forget the show that he's on, but it just, I think you know, whatever show he was on, you know, he was used to seeing that type of work. So
yeah.
I felt like Vivica was the one, the one guest judge that was probably the least connected to anything sex related.
Yeah.
So I was really. What was that?
I was going to say, LeVar he's best friends with Mackenzie Westmore and the Westmore family. I mean, they've grown up together, and LeVar's had to make a prosthetic, so he's in the field. But yeah, the whole.
Yeah, so he knows.
Yeah,
so I just thought, so I was really interested to find out, you know, listen to some of her comments, because some of the stuff that she even liked, I can't remember, I'm trying to remember, she really liked one makeup, and I think it had a lot to do with, like, the big hair or something that, I can't even remember whose work it was, but I was just kind of shocked that she was even a judge, but
yeah,
we were
shocked.
Yeah, the things that she didn't like, I was like shocked too. I'm like, really, he didn't like that? So that was pretty interesting. But yeah, Glenn seems to be the toughest, and I think Patrick. It seems like even when he puts you down, he does it in a nice way.
Yeah, Patrick's the Paula, Glenn is the Simon Cowell, and V is the, what's that guy's name? I can't remember. It just
Randy?
Is it Randy?
Randy?
Randy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Ben, he's tough. He's really tough. Who did you like? Now, when you said you auditioned, you hadn't even heard of the show, so you went back and watched season one? Is that what it was?
I watched them in the hotel room while I was auditioning, actually.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, this is what I'm in for. What did I get myself into?
Right. Who did you like from season one?
I really liked Gage a lot. I think our styles were very symbiotic, and I talked to him recently, like a week ago on the phone, and we just have a lot in common, and our styles really mesh up, and we both agree that horror and that whole genre, that style, has to be rebooted, and you have to create something that's so violent and controversial to make a voice for yourself and make a statement. Otherwise, you're not saying anything, and you're just rehashing everything that's been done before. And I loved his work, and he was telling me, I love your work, and let's work together. So we're doing something in the future. I'm not sure what exactly, but we're going to work together, I know, soon. So that's going to be fun.
That was nice. I really liked Gage as well.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the horror part of the industry, do you? And I hear everything that you're saying, you know, giving a voice to what you're doing. Do you think that that's going to be difficult? Do you think it'll be something difficult? Because, you know, and I'm not too familiar with the horror genre, but I don't know the names of the players, the ones that are out there and really making a name for themselves in the horror arena. Do you think that's going to be something difficult to do?
I think it's all relative where it's coming from. I believe I'm a big fan. A lot of people are a fan of horror and of horror movies and the horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
I distance myself by saying I'm a fan of fear itself, which is the unknown, xenophobia, the fear of the unknown. And like ancient hominid man was afraid of a big cat in the cave, you know, the big teeth in the dark. And so it's always the unknown, the darkness, the shadow. You don't know what's in there, and that's where true horror lies. And I think a lot of people confuse horror with blood and guts and gore. That's squeamish, but it's not fear, you know. It's the effects of horror. But I'm more a fan of that, of getting into the minds psychologically and displaying images and visuals that you've never seen. Your mind can't even comprehend. I mean, it goes back to biblical days when angels or demons would interact with man. They would fall to their face prostrate because they couldn't take the presence of what they were, what was there manifesting in front of them. And I'm a big fan of like that esoteric arcane knowledge and Babylonian mystery schools and teaching, you know, that information, pushing it into your art and bringing that mysticism into your work is not happening right now, and I'd love to start a renaissance.
Right.
Wow. That's some interesting stuff. I can't wait till you start, you know, making a difference in that side of the industry. Sounds like it's going to be something that's going to shake the industry up a little bit.
That was actually one of the things I was talking to there was a makeup artist who actually was with production. They were just behind the scenes, and actually were during casting, they told me, you know what? I asked them, they're asking me, are there any questions? I was like, what's safe and what's not safe? And he was like, oh, you plan on stirring some crap up, don't you? so they kind of know, I wanted to know the boundaries. So if that's where you want to be, and art is always violent and dangerous, and you always want to be there because all the great artists and musicians always push that boundary, and they're hated at first. I mean, I think it was Gandhi said, first they hate you, then they fight you, then they join you, and then you win.
Hmm. Wow. Interesting. Who did you find on season 2 to be amazing artists, in your opinion?
God, so hard to choose. I mean, all of them are phenomenal, great artists. Now I have their strengths and weaknesses. To me, there's a difference between a great makeup artist and a great artist. And I think the great artist lies within the aesthetic eye and not technical, which you can learn. You can go to any $30,000, $40,000 school and learn technical aspect, but you're only as good as your teacher. If you have the heart and the passion, and I feel that's what makes you a real artist, is that you're speaking through your art and you're creating things that are in your heart that you put all your emotions into, and it's not just book talk.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, I feel Race was really strong with that. Conceptual designs were really strong, and he was very emotional. You can see on the show. Also, there is some editing, but I think we all had some moments. But it is the emotions that come through. You can see artists who are really passionate and a little insane. That is where true art lies.
Nice.
But I love them all. It's hard to choose, but I think as an artist, I would say Race.
Race. Okay. You know, it's funny because I was, you know, so busy watching a lot of the others that I really started paying attention to Race's talent, like, later in the show, in the show. And he was doing some amazing things as well. And there was just so many great artists, and everybody, you know, had that special thing about, you know, what they really did well. The body paint competition that you and Bree were teamed up together and you won, it was one of the most amazing pieces of work that I saw, you know, on season 2, I thought. And she shared with us when she was on the show a couple weeks ago that it was you guys' first time painting.
Yeah, I am not a body painter at all.
Well, that just made it even more amazing to me. You know, I was just telling her that, because I remember when they were forming the teams and everybody was running up picking, you know, what they wanted, everybody was avoiding the sneakers. So I think, I guess, you guys just wind up with it because I guess that's what was left. I can't remember if that's how that happened. That's what was left, or you guys had a choice between that and something else. I couldn't remember.
Looking at that, I knew once we got the final pick, I knew there was two reasons. Either they wanted someone to shine or they wanted someone off the show. And I felt when you're doing body painting, anything from a distance, if it's very imagery heavy with a lot of things going on in the picture, a lot of repeating patterns, it's going to look pristine from a distance. And I knew that was going to be a strong point. So I kind of felt, even if I wasn't chosen last, that I knew it was a trick, that that's probably the best to choose. But the repetitiveness of the shoes, and there was no getting away around that. But my only creativity I could push into that was to use her butt as a basketball, and I thought that would be so cool to do. So I based it around that, and just the shoes are going to be the shoes. There's nothing you can do with that. But the ass is the gimmick, and that's what's going to sell this. And it happened.
Wow. It was awesome. And I couldn't say enough about it. I loved it the night of the show, you know, online when I would see the pictures. I loved it even more when I get a really, really better look at the end result. I just couldn't say enough about it. The paint job I thought was awesome. And for you guys to have done that for the very first time, that was just phenomenal. You know, one of the things about this show, and I see it more on season two than I saw on season one, to be a great effects artist, it seems that you have to know how to do a lot of things. Like, you may get, and I guess, you know, as far as getting called for jobs, you may get called for what you do best. So if horror is your thing, you may get called for a horror film or something. If body painting is, you know, somebody else's strong point, they may get called to do body paint work on a project. You know, if sculpting and, you know, or old age or whatever it is that you do really well is your strong point, then you may get called for those kind of jobs. But, and I've said this many, many times to different guests on the show who are FX artists, you know, it seems like FX artists have to know how to do so many things. And I just think, you know, that makes you a great, well-rounded artist. You know, for those of us who are on the beauty side, you know, we do beauty and everything that comes along with beauty. You know, so, you know, some of us airbrush, but not necessarily body paint. And then there are the ones who body paint. But just, you know, we look at the sculpting, even just from the conceptualizing. And then, you know, the consulting, the sculpting, and then the next steps and the next steps. And then, you know, some competitions, you're body painting. Some competitions, you know, they had the old age competition. There's just so many different things. How important do you think it is for an effects artist? And I know that's not what you want to label yourself, but since we're speaking of face-off, how important do you think it is for an effects artist to know all of these other things? You know, the painting, I know you said you've only done it once on the show, but how important do you think all of that stuff is?
I think it's very important to be well-rounded and have a vast repertoire to work with as an effects artist. I would say, I mean, I am an artist, but I am an effects artist as in that's one of my outlets. You know, I'm also a musician. I do music, or, you know, I love fashion. I'm working on designing a fashion line, horror-themed fashion line. But taking all that in, it's almost like a doctor or a mechanic. You can be great at changing tires or, you know, oil change or, you know, heart transplant, but if you're not good at, you know, stitching up, you know, someone's wound, then what good are you? You know, there's certain things you have to be great at, or at least the basics, intermediate knowledge of, to be an effects artist. And there's great artists and there's phenomenal artists. And it bases on how much you love the craft and how much time and passion you put into it to take the time to learn all these, you know, before the show, I didn't know there was a whole industry of body painters. And I found that out through Athena and Nyx, and they're amazing body painters. And I've worked with Athena on a couple different sets, and She's just a phenomenal artist, and I picked up some tips. And it being well-rounded and all that is will make you, you know, the most powerful artist you can be in the industry, and just further your career and get you more work.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Sue and Bree, and you know, how all that got started? And how, I mean, I know you all shared like the same living space, like the same bedrooms, but you know, how did that come about?
I think that was when I went on. When I was going to be on the show, I decided that I'm not here to make friends or to try to hook up with someone or to, you know, be this TV personality. I came in there. It's at the end of the day, it's a reality show. It's a game show, and I'm a contestant, and I'm going to play the game. So I went in there thinking that whatever I have to do to get to the next challenge and to win this thing, I'm going to do it. And I went in there and I made friends with Sue the first day. Actually, we were working on the first foundation challenge, and we were just talking, and we had similar interests and similar artists that inspired us. And we started talking. She's like, "Well, you're going to be my roommate." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." And then Bree came along. You're like, "Oh," she's like, "She's our roommate too." I was like, "Okay." And we ran in and went straight up to the master bedroom area, which had the nice patio and the big jacuzzi, two walk-in closets. We had the room to be in. I mean, it was so awesome. And I'm the only guy upstairs. I've got Bree, Sue is my roommates, and I've got Heather and Athena across. And I was like, this is the best place to be for a male in this house. And then they're changing all constantly. You know, there's like, you know, they're showering or changing. And so being a red-blooded male, you can't help but hope for, you know, bedtime and seeing them walk around in the pajamas. I'm only a man.
Oh, my goodness, hilarious. So you were in the right place.
Yes.
Oh.
I thought you were so quiet and sweet.
I know, right?
It's the magic of editing.
Exactly. There we go with that editing again. Wow. Well, you know, one of the great things that I liked about this season now, again, it could have been the magic of editing, but they didn't show too much drama. I'm sure there could have been some, but it just wasn't too much drama. Because sometimes, you know, like sometimes as a person watching the show, and you know, and I don't know what, you know, a lot of people like reality type shows for the drama. You know, I really don't watch them. But on some of these competition shows, a lot of people like it when there's somebody on there that's bringing the, you know, the drama. And I really don't care for it. I'm like, let's focus on the competitions. So I was glad to see that it wasn't too much going on. I know that one time there was Sue and the young girl, I can't remember her name.
Becky or Miranda?
No, it wasn't Becky. It was like the really young girl. Miranda, did you say Miranda?
Yeah, Miranda.
Yeah, okay, so Miranda. I know there's one time, you know, I think Miranda was upset because of something, you know, Sue told her or didn't say to her, but, you know, I guess that was the most drama I saw on the show, which really wasn't much of anything. But I was just glad that it wasn't, you know, anything worse. Because I'm just like, you know, it seems like it takes the focus off of the competition. Like, I just think the show is great on its own, where you wouldn't have to have so much drama going on just to keep people interested. You know, I don't think it's that kind of a show. What do you think the producers could do differently or more of to make season 3 even better?
That's a tough question. I would actually have to say that there was a lot of contestants this season. I think it was they should have lowered the number amount a little bit and kept maybe the same amount as first season. That way you can concentrate more on artists and their work and not have, like, the double eliminations. Like, that really, I think that you're forcing people to just go out, you know, when someone could have left or could have stayed further. And I think just upping the challenges, like, these were impossible challenges. I mean, you didn't know where you were going, where you're driving you to in the middle of the night. I mean, there's stuff that was going on that didn't exist on TV, but we experienced it, and it just adds to the anxiety of the show. And so I think new, like, bigger locations and I think bigger celebrity. I think the difference is what would you want? What would the audience want? Do they want a better show, like as in ratings, or a better overall makeup effects show? And I think that's a difference. Some people like the drama. Some people want to see more of how do you make this stuff. You get like a quick montage of first you pour the material and then you mold it and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but that's what people want to see. You know, people want to see that, but they finish it with a montage. But yeah, I think it's overall what the demographic wants. And I think it seemed to be that they like the underdog. They wanted the person straight out of school or self-taught. I'm self-taught, so that's what I saw. A lot of people there were either very young, straight out of school, or self-taught. And and some other people were working on films or in shops or veterans. But I think the audience seemed to like self-taught, younger crowd. And there was, I don't want to bash season one, but it seemed like it was like a GQ magazine ad or something. There's a lot of, there were some attractive people on set. You know, I mean, there's, you know, younger, attractive people. And I don't know. I think that's all with the selling of the show and the marketing. It seemed like it was going a little more MTV, maybe, which I think is cool. I mean, getting it out there to a whole other field. I have a bunch of young fans that I never thought I would ever inspire. And that's amazing to be able to reach out and inspire these young kids that message me, I want to be like you. I want to be an effects artist. I want to get into this and make monsters. And I think that's what it's all about. And just push the boundaries of makeup.
I think for me, I would have loved on season two to see a little more of, like, okay, so when you guys are finished for the day and you're leaving, going home, sometimes I think what they showed of your guys' life at home was so quick. I would have loved to have seen, you know, a little bit more of that, because it was always like, okay, we're leaving, the next thing you know, you're spinning around, it's daytime again, and you're back in there. I would have loved to have seen a little bit more of, you know, what's going on, you know, what you guys are talking about, okay, you know, are you even talking anything about what you think you're going to do the next day, or just anything. I would have loved to see a little bit more of that. Again, I don't like you were saying, I don't like that double elimination type of thing. And this season, the season finale show, at first when I turned it on, at first I thought, is this like a rerun of another show? I mean, of another episode? I was like, I thought they said this was the finale week. And then they showed all of the stuff, you know, when you guys came out, when they all were on stage and what have you. I'm not so sure I liked this finale show, because you didn't get a chance to see, unless I missed something. I'm not sure. But I thought, I had the TV on early enough for the show to start, but it seems like I missed, or they didn't show, like, because did the other contestants come back to help you guys?
Yeah, they had everyone except the first two that were eliminated on this season came back to help groups of four.
Okay. I don't know if they just mentioned that happened, but I don't remember seeing that. I don't know if they showed that or not. I just remember, you know, you see it and you see each person's three designs. I kind of would have liked to see the whole process of what they did to get there.
Yeah.
you know, that would have been nice. I would say that each of those three final contestants had some, there was some awesome work up on that stage. I did think that Race, just from what I saw, had the best work. I was happy to see him win. You know, it was good to see contestants from season one and two out there. Who did you like? I mean, I know you liked a lot of the people there, and maybe you don't want to pick one, but would you have said of the three that Race was the winner?
Yeah, I knew that he was gonna take it even before. I knew immediately on set in the arena on stage that he had it, and then before we'd have back to the house reality. We would talk for hours and hours. There's like over 140 hours of footage that is edited down to 45 minutes for TV. But there's a lot of stuff that's cut out, but we would talk for hours. And that's what we were pretty, he was probably one of my best friends on the show, but you never see that. We'd stay up real late talking about ideas and concepts and just the universe and space and art and everything. And music. I mean, we'd sing and play. He'd play the guitar. There was a lot of cool stuff that just was left out. But I pretty much told him, "You're gonna take this, man. I think your concepts are just too strong that you're gonna take it." And mm-hmm. I mean, I was on Ian's team, and those are basically with that horror challenge. He chose me because he knew that was my forte, and he basically just was like, "I don't like horror. What do you think we should do?" And those are my concepts to go with the more Luciferian theme. So in a way, I was kind of in the final because those were my ideas, my concepts. But I think Races were just, I like that whole intergalactic feel to it, that space, the sculpture and the movements of the characters. And I think he just kind of took all the strengths as he was going of all artists on the show. He kind of picked up all these. You could see through his art from the first foundation challenge all the way till now, that he grew exponentially, and it's just amazing to see that before your eyes, you're seeing an artist grow and evolve.
Right. Now listen, Matt, I have three callers on the line,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to bring them all in one by one.
Okay.
I just asked each caller to, you know, keep it very brief because I want to get everybody on before the show ends. The first caller I want to bring on has been waiting for a while, and they're from the 207 area code. Let's see. Hello? Hello? Okay, maybe they're not talking. They hung
Hello?
Up. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Who's calling?
This is Kaylee.
Hi. Did you want to speak with Matt or ask a question?
I would love to.
Okay.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, what's up?
This is Kaylee from Maine.
Hi.
Well, first, I'd just like to say, awesome job on Face Off. It's completely wonderful.
Thank you.
And, wow, I'm wicked starstruck right now. I don't even know what to say. I have one question for you.
Uh-huh.
If I were to, say, talk to you on Facebook sometime, would you ever respond?
Depending on, I mean, I get a lot of messages that are like, hey, you're cool, hey, you're awesome. But if it's like a legitimate, hey, I have a question or blah, 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 or this is happening, or what do you recommend for this? Yeah, I respond. I try to get back. I'm just really busy, but I'm trying to get back to everyone. It takes a while.
Oh, I'm sure. I've looked at your Facebook. You're a popular guy. So how has life been since Face Off?
That's great. I got a lot of work coming up. I'm doing Monsterpalooza next week in Burbank, California. A lot of great artists are going to be there, and I've got a going to Atlanta, Georgia, you know, on the 28th of April for a big convention with Sue and Race and Bree. And there's just a lot of things coming up. I've got a lot of some film and TV work, and working with some rock star bands that are coming up, and just a lot of cool, great things are coming from the show.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks, thanks.
And quick question about your personal life, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
What, no girl in your life?
Not at this moment. I'm kind of just putting all my work into my art, and if that special Mrs. X Valentine comes around, then I'll take it as it comes.
Did you say Mrs.
All right. I think that's all I have. I'm just happy enough that I got to talk to you. No problem. Have a great evening.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and then the next caller is from the 201 area code. Hi, who's calling?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, this is Aubrey from New Jersey.
Hi, Aubrey.
Hey, Aubrey.
Hey. Wow, this is actually kind of cool.
Do you have a question?
I was actually wondering, like, where do you get a lot of your ideas from? Because I got to say, the Ice Cream Man, like, really creepy and really cool. One of my friends and I share a real love for a lot of, like, creepy and just fun, crazy stuff, and we always, well, you know. But where do you get your ideas for this stuff?
Well, I get a lot from, I'm a big history buff, and if you don't learn history, you're doomed to repeat it. So I like the way a lot of history is run by social engineering and through propaganda and marketing and brainwashing a lot of society through it's just different packaging, how it's wrapped up, you know, throughout all history. And I love how a lot of us are not even aware of it, what's going on. And it's all about a subliminal, like neuro-linguistic, speaking on a different level that your mind takes in subliminally, but you don't visually see it. And I love hiding that stuff. If you look through all my work on the show, I hide a lot of, I mean, there's some sexual imagery, and then there's some stuff, symbolism that you don't really see, but some people pick up on it. And for me, it's a proverbial hiding the razor blade in a candy apple. Like, you're pushing your agenda and getting it across, but you're still providing a nice, wrapped, mass package for national TV using that platform. But I get a lot of my influence from history, from esoteric knowledge and Babylonian mystery schools, like a lot of religion and occult. Not that I worship or follow these things. It's just I like taking in all this knowledge.
Wow, that's really amazing. I really enjoyed the season, and me and my friend throughout the finale were texting back and forth, and we're just like, why isn't Matt in the finale? But
hey,
yeah,
we'll have the internet. It feels the same.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing.
Wow, this is an amazing opportunity. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh, thanks. Have a great night.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aubrey, for calling.
All right, thanks.
Okay,
bye.
Good night. And then we have, and I think we lost her. We had, oh, wow, she was coming up next. Let's see if we can get her back on here. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Let's see. I want to hold on 1 second, get this last caller, and we lost her. She wanted to get on. I'm going to see if she's going to call back. Matt, do you have any websites or, you want to share, your Facebook? Are you on Twitter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Matt Valentine, FX, F as in Frank, X as in Xerox. I've got globalfearenterprises.com is my company website. And I have my own portfolio website is mattvalentinefx.com.
Okay.
People can reach me there for any work or workshops. I'm doing workshops this summer all over the nation, so come and teach. You hit me up if you want me to come to your school or class or whatever. I can come and teach a 3-day workshop. and we'll work out details.
Oh, nice.
I think we can get the caller on now. Hold on. Let me see if I can get them on.
I can't hear you. What did you say?
I think we can get the caller on now. I think they're back out there.
I didn't see her. Number pop up, but you know what? I'm going to try something new here.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello, am I online?
Yeah, you're online.
Oh my God! Is this really Matt?
Hi, yes.
I didn't feel this fan. I totally thought you should have won.
Thanks. Thank you. That means a lot.
Okay, so I have a question for you. For some reason, and it's a rumor, but I've a couple of friends with some of the other face-off contestants, and I knew it. For some reason, every time I look at your work, it's, like, so erotic and sexual. Like, do you, like, I tried getting some information out, but, like, do you put in weird, like, sexual things in your work?
I think it's open to interpretation. Like, and you know, to give away any information would be like ruining it. Like, a band doesn't really tell you what their songs really mean. They let you decide what it means to you because it means more from the person hearing it. So I feel like whatever you see is what you see. It's all perception. And I do hide things, but it's up to the viewer to decide what it means to them.
Oh my God! I don't know, but there are clearly blatant things that just look like vaginas on all the characters.
I think there's many layers to art. You know,
this is so excited, and you look so hot. I love you.
It's only TV. It adds 50 pounds.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you. Like that aquatic creature. Oh, so beautiful. And she had like a horn that was so big, and it was like, oh, I love it.
Thanks.
Oh, boy.
You're not stupid. It's Sue. It's Sue.
Hello?
It's Sue.
You set me up, Hughes. I knew it kind of sounded creepy.
Oh, my God. I was like, when she stopped.
Oh, my God.
I knew she sounded too crazy. I was like, what did I hear?
Anyway, I just wanted to call her and say hi.
Ruby?
Yeah. Oh, and also, I also wanted to let all your fans know that you guys may not know it, but Matt is actually a really good dancer. He, like, break dances, too.
Oh wow.
Yeah. He does, like, headbands and stuff. Yeah. So, Matt mentioned that we'll all be down in Atlanta, and I'll definitely let you guys know. And
yes,
you'll receive comp tickets from us, so don't worry about that. You'll come out. And you can see him breakdance for real.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a big party.
Yeah. Okay, I don't want to steal your thunder. I just wanted to play a really quick joke. But have a good night, and I'll see you at the end of April, Matt.
Hey, yeah, I'll see you too, Sue. I'm gonna get you back.
Thank you so much, Sue, for calling.
Bye.
Oh wow, Matt. I was like, how much longer is she gonna go with this? Because
I don't know how much more he can take. Uncomfortable there. It's a little awkward.
Right, I know. I was like, he's probably nervous by now.
It was scary. Man. I kept thinking, oh God, he's going to figure out who it is. He's going to figure out who it is. But then she kept going on and you kept responding to the questions. But I almost couldn't hold it any longer.
I will go with it all the way. I want to find out how far it'll go.
Yeah, I see that.
I'm being very inquisitive.
Hilarious. That was hilarious. But the three of you, you and Sue and Bree, all seem to have got along pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of you are going to be in Atlanta together. Mm-hmm. So that should be exciting.
Including
and
Ray.
You did, you, Oh, Race is going to be with you guys?
Race is going to be with you guys?
Yeah, Race will be there as well.
Okay, cool.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Well, that'll be great. And again, we're going to, Race is the winner of Face Off, so we're going to try to get him on the show sometime soon as well. But we thank you so much, Matt, for joining us. We'll definitely be following you and keeping up with what you're doing. And if you have any information you'd like for us to get out to our listeners, please let us know. Or you can go out to the Beauty Talk with Illusions online radio Facebook page and post your information out there. Like if you have information about where you're going to be or classes or anything like that, feel free to post that information out there.
Awesome. Sounds great. Yeah, I'm out there working, and I'm open to anybody wants to contact me for any work or anything, contract work or film work, anything. I'm taking all bids right now, setting up my schedule. But yeah, we're doing workshops this summer, so anyone interested in having me come out and teach, I'm booking them right now. So just hit me up at globalfearenterprise.com or mattvalentineeffects.com.
Yeah, and
that's good.
I may have an opportunity that you may be interested in. I'll hit you up and run it by you, and you can, decide if it's something that you want to do.
Cool.
Cool. Well, again, with all of that being said, thank you so much for joining us. We really enjoyed having you on, and I was so happy about that little prank at the end. That was kind of cool. And hopefully we'll get a chance to see you in Atlanta at the end of the month.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, so for those of you out there who are listening, if you really enjoyed the show, go out here on our Blog Talk Radio page and mark it as a favorite. Tell everybody about Beauty Talk. And join us next week, same time. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.